It's Monday, November 1st, 2021, and this is Golf Today. We had a windy finish in Bermuda. Lucas Herbert, the 25-year-old Aussie, took home his first PGA Tour title. We discussed his weekend and how impressive the International President's Cup team has been in the early parts of this wraparound season. Plus, Preston Summerhays, the phenom down in Tempe, joins the program to talk about his freshman year at Arizona State, his win at the East Lake Cup, and how he is balancing being one of the best golfers in the country with being one of the new faces around campus. That's not all. We talk the LPGA final push in November. We recap our points bet locks of the week. We quiz Damon Hack on his UCLA knowledge. Let me tell you, it is very good. And we have a couple of youngsters on the program in very different places in their golfing careers. Coming up on Golf Today, these winds were up and conditions nasty in Bermuda. The man that left the king of the triangle, Lucas Herbert, who picked up his first PGA Tour title and second worldwide win of 2021. We'll discuss the 25-year-old and his great week. Plus, the entire reason we do On the Number is for weeks like this, pro golfers knowing how important it is to make it to the weekend in the fall, which brings us to a man who called it the greatest top 60 finish of all time. We'll explain. And Preston Summerhays, fresh off his victory at the East Lake Cup, joins the show to talk about freshman year, Tempe, college golf, and plenty more. Stop eating that candy. Halloween is over. Golf Today is not. Let's go.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Welcome into Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Shane Bacon. Today, November 1st. Yesterday, October 31st. Many of us still recovering from a sugar high. I had a lot of chocolate, had a lot of candy. I'm a little off my game. Did you have a favorite, like, top three list of candy? Because I could go on and on and on.
I went classical. I went kind of OG candy, if you will. I'll start with peanut M&Ms. This is kind of one of the – I don't think this would have made my list before meeting Cindy. But Cindy is a big peanut M&M person. I've adopted the peanut M&M. Can't miss with the peanut M&Ms. Number two, Starburst. You're getting a lot of chocolate on these lists.
I had Starburst last night.
A lot of chocolate on the list. You got to throw in a little fruity, mix it up a bit. Number one for me is Twix. I love the peanut butter Twix, but any Twix in general. What's your three?
I went number three would be Skittles. I named my dog after Skittles. I love the purple and the red especially. Number two would be the Valentine's Day candy. Remember that you go to
elementary school earlier. Like, you love these.
You want two or three boxes, or you get the pink one and the green. They're fantastic. And number one for me, undefeated Milk Duds, especially at the movie theater. When we used to go to the movies, you'd get the Milk Duds and the popcorn together.
Mix it up.
I was working my way to 260 pounds back then, and Milk Duds were a big part of that.
We were putting the candy down.
How about Butterfingers? Do you like Butterfingers or Butterfeel?
Oh, I like where you're going. I almost went there. We didn't even plan that. Let's check out some highlights from the Butterfilled Bermuda Championship. It's going to be the highlight of our show.
You got
it. Right there, D. We already had it in the first 3 minutes.
Look, we talked about it earlier. Would you want to play golf on a day like this?
Do you bail is the question. Do you bail?
Taylor Penrith might have wanted to bail overnight. Leader struggling on the 8th hole. The par 3 tee shot comes up well short. He'd make bogey to drop to 14 under.
So I have a condition rule.
Okay.
There's three bad golfing conditions. There's cold, there's wind, there's rain. I don't want to play golf in two of the three. I'll play in one of the three. But if there's two of the three, that's when I call the buddies and say we'll find another day.
Okay.
And it was wind and rain on this Sunday.
Well, we know Patrick Reed can handle the tough conditions. Someone before the week said, hey, you know, you get Miss Greens in Bermuda. You might as well pick someone maybe with a top 10 who has a fantastic short game. Somebody said that.
We'll get to that in a bit. Somebody maybe was trying to get talked out of that.
That's right.
Too simple on the board. We'll discuss in a bit. That's Danny Lee at the 11th. That was an important putt to save his par. We'll go to the 12th, trying to get this up and in for par, and the troubles began.
Yeah, for the U.S. Am champ, going to leave it short, and we're going to leave him for a moment, back to him just a little bit. How about Lucas Herbert, a 25-year-old Aussie? This is the 12th hole, and look at the emotion, the fist pump. Had his coach in earlier, flew him in to Bermuda for some help for his own game, and it was working out. This is Danny Lee again. Now, this is the hybrid putt. Now, a little strong, did not gauge that well.
No. I mean, interesting play. You know, you always hear kind of the commentators talk about bellying a wedge or hitting the hybrid three-wood putter. That was just not the right decision. Now Reed here at 17 knows he's got to make virtually everything coming in. Pours that one in for a birdie. That would get him to 13 under par.
Absolutely. This is short par putt for the leader. Lucas Herbert not happy with that. Looking at the grass, maybe a little wobble on the green.
Can just pat those down? Can't look at the grass.
Pat them down now.
Can't look at the. It's been years. It's a new rule. Can't blame the grass.
Can't blame the grass. That's Patrick Reed, 9-time winner on the PGA Tour, looking for number 10 and was in good position.
It's weird. I believe he finished in the top 10. I believe he did.
Someone might have said
it's a lock.
A lock of the week.
Potentially.
Someone might have.
Potentially. It's Herbert. Big putt there. Pours it in the right side. Get him to 15 under par.
Yeah, and when you're going to win in professional golf, have to find a way. This one's manufacture shots. That was fantastic from Herbert on the par 3, 16th. Well, he'd save par to remain at 15 under.
Go to the 17th, the par 5. Taylor Pendrith had played this par 5. 5 under par the first three rounds. And that was then. This is now. Drive. Oh. Well left. That is what a lot of the people in the game call a double cross. Trying to hit the cut, it goes left. So now you drop and you try to save par and you don't catch it solid. And that one finds the water as well. It was not his day, the 17th, not his hole. He would make a double bogey 7 there and we'll go back to Danny Lee.
Yeah, little pitch shot here. Gorgeous on the par 5 to a few feet. He'd make birdie to get to 14 under, just one shot back. Here's the leader, Lucas Herbert, just trying to, you know, finish strong on the 18th.
I'll say a way better performance from this Herbert than the one that I have on my fantasy football team. I'm on a free fall in fantasy.
Okay.
Justin Herbert has not been the guy for me the last
Justin
few
Herbert.
Just waiting for him.
But Lucas Herbert
has been incredible. But it doesn't, you know what? I get no fantasy football points for him winning in Bermuda.
No, but he's going to get some world ranking points for that. First win on the PGA Tour. How about some winners at age 25 or younger from Australia? Quite a list. You think of Jason Day, Adam Scott, Cameron Smith, Aaron Baddeley, and Lucas joins that list and meets the media after his big win.
It was one of those ones you couldn't even let yourself kind of get ahead and think that you've won the tournament any early because it was just, the conditions were just so brutal that you could have hit a shot anywhere at any time offline. And you know, it was just good to survive, I guess. It's probably the way to describe it. It was a tricky one. You sort of had to be a little bit fluid with it, depending on the conditions. I think early it was probably favorable to be able to do some scoring, but then I think once we got to about 6 or 7, that was when the wind really picked up. And from then on, it was probably more of a survival mode, just, you know, try and get yourself into position off the tee and then in the fairway, hopefully, and in the middle of the greens, and just, you know, try not to put too much pressure on the short game because, yeah, it was obviously not easy out there. I think growing up in Australia, we had a lot of this kind of stuff. I played countless junior events where the wind was just brutal. I feel like, and especially we've been to Europe now and played on the European Tour for 2 or 3 years, and, you know, it gets pretty windy out there as well. So just been exposed to a lot of golf where it gets quite windy, and I've seen a lot of the best players in the world play in the wind as well. So just watching how they do it and then, you know, working on that and feeling like, you know, just working on the things that I work on in the wind, just I feel like it gives me an edge over, you know, when the conditions are perfect, I feel like that just suits the guys that are locals a bit more.
It was a wild week in Bermuda, also a wild week via points bet when you kind of look at Lucas Herbert's outright odds throughout the week. Pre-tournament, he was plus 7,000, entering the second round, plus 6,000. Not on anybody's radar. Third round, he was still over a plus $1,000 odd number, plus 1,600, and even entering that final round, plus 600. Those odds via points bet. Of course, he goes on to win. And I'm going to talk, Dee, for a second about something you probably didn't expect to hear on November 1st.
What you got?
Talking about the President's Cup.
Oh, wow.
We've had 6 events. We've had 3 winners now on the international side as we are entering a President's Cup year. You think about Sungjae Hideki and now Herbert winning. I mean, if you're Trevor Immelman, this is really, really good things because, sure, the President's Cup's, whatever, 10 months away from now. But being comfortable on American soil is a big, big deal. Being comfortable on the PGA Tour is a very, very big deal. Picking up victories on the PGA Tour helps these players and their confidence. So, again, when you're kind of looking at late October, early November event. There's not a lot to circle when you're kind of looking well ahead. That is something I'm kind of keeping an eye on, is that the International President's Cup team has at least shut up early in the season.
Looks stacked, looks strong. I'm looking at the player himself, Lucas Herbert, who won in the Irish Open in the summer. Since then, has missed four cuts and felt so bad about his game that he flew his coach to Bermuda a little over a week ago, and there were some complications on whether the coach would be able to get back to Australia because of the COVID protocols. They worked on his game, and Lucas said on Thursday and Friday he still wasn't entirely comfortable with his golf swing, wasn't necessarily trusting it. But then on Saturday and Sunday he felt strong enough, despite the tough conditions, to hit the golf shots required to get that first win on the PGA Tour. This is someone obviously with high expectations and high standards, now into the Masters likely, and of course Kapalua as well. But I think he was shaky with his game going into the week. To have the coach come out, he finds something and gets the job done.
You see those odds via PointsBet, plus 7,000, plus 6,000. It's because what can you take away from what this guy has done already in his short career? Yeah. Two top 20 finishes headed in to the Irish Open where he wins. And then headed into this week, two missed cuts headed in. Kind of all over the place with his golf game, but narrowed, found a golf course in tough conditions. And this is what certain players want. They want the golf courses to be as tough as you can make them, because that's when they excel.
Yeah.
And there are players that are going to win at the 25, 28, 30 under par golf courses.
Yeah.
And there are certain players that want it to be closer to 7, 8, 9, 10 under par. When the winds are up and the rain's there, you understand that a lot of the field's just not going to be up for the week. It's either later, early in the season, however you want to look at it. And say you're 5, 6, 7 shots back of the lead going into Sunday and you're in your rain gear and you're just trying to get through the day. When you're Lucas Herbert and you see these conditions and you understand, I've got the game, I've played in this a lot in my lifetime, I've played in this in junior golf tournaments, I've got a chance to go out there and prove something.
Yeah, and need for him to say that. I can lean on my experiences playing in tough conditions in the wind growing up in Australia and lean on his junior golf days. I love what he said, because all the questions afterwards were like, hey, what's next for you, Lucas?
Right.
Like, wait a second. You know, I know I've been around long enough to know that I'm not going to think, well, I'm not going to struggle anymore in this game. He wants to embrace this victory. He knows what's coming for him next year in terms of major championships and the potential to stay in those World Golf Championship events as well. But he also knows that careers are like this. They're not always like this.
25, D. I mean, 25 and two big wins.
Yeah.
I mean, you now win on the PGA Tour and you win at the Irish Open. I mean, these are big events on the two biggest tours that we have. I mean, this is real serious stuff for a young player. We love focusing on the 18, 19, 20-year-old players coming out of college.
Yeah.
But to be 25 now and to have three big professional wins on your resume to this point, quite impressive stuff.
Trevor has a stock team.
Stock team.
Our buddy T.I.
Listen, we need the internationals to pick up one of these.
I think we need it for the
President's Cup. And when you look at some of these names and the way they've played already in the season, who knows what their form will be in 2 months, 6 months, or beyond. Look at what we just said about Lucas Herbert. But again, winning is important.
Yeah.
Winning brings confidence that'll carry over for a year or two. Real deal young player is Preston Summerhays. We can't fit all of his accomplishments on one full screen, so we'll just go with the hits. 2018, 2019 Utah Amateur Champ, 2019 U.S. Junior Amateur Champion at Inverness, 2020 Son of Hannah Amateur Champion, youngest winner in the event's history. And if you dive on that Wikipedia page, you will see some very impressive names and co-medalists at the 2021 East Lake Cup. And Preston got up early, which we appreciate as a freshman. I know it's not always easy getting up early on the West Coast. So you're already a winner in college. I thought this was supposed to be hard to go out there and pick up W's, and you're already doing it. What's working so far?
You know, kind of last week, everything was kind of working. I was hitting it really good, putting it well. Short game was solid. But, yeah, it's been really fun my first couple months at college.
How are you enjoying dorm life? I see kind of the small room, a little closet behind you. What's it like to be a freshman and already a big man on campus?
I actually really enjoy dorm life. It's really fun. I got my roommate, Josele. We're great friends, and we've just had a great time so far.
All right. Now, golf is an individual sport, as you know, but now you are on a team. How do you balance bonding with teammates while also competing against them for spots?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, coming to ASU, I knew I was going to be playing with some of the best players in the country. And I think that's really good for a team aspect, but also individually, because you have to compete against them every single day, try to beat them. So you're pushing them and they're pushing you. And it's all kind of working together to help everybody.
Preston, for those that didn't play college golf, can you just run us through a Preston Summerhays day, life in the day of Preston Summerhays? What time are you getting up? What are the mandatory morning workout sessions? What are you doing throughout a day during the week?
Throughout the week, let's see. So I got class starting at 7:30, and that goes till 10:15. And then from then on, I go to the course, have team practice, and then usually after that, workouts. And then I come back to the dorm and study up, do a bunch of homework.
So a lot of work is what you're telling me. It's work, man. Yeah. It's work being a collegiate athlete. Well, you picked a college in a comfortable area. It's a place you know so well. How has that decision helped in the early parts of your collegiate career?
It's really helped. I think staying home, being at ASU, I'm comfortable with this area. I can go back home whenever I want. It's like a 30-minute drive. But, yeah, it's been really fun to stay home. I'm really familiar with everything, and I'm just I'm glad I could be at ASU.
Preston, you have one of those names. It's a famous last name in the game, Summerhays, much like the Stocktons. You know, growing up in a golf environment with your family so involved as players and coaches and around pro golf even, how has that helped you climb these different levels in the game?
It's helped me a lot, mainly because I've kind of been able to see golf at every level. From a really young age, I've been able to go out on tour with my dad and kind of see what the best players in the world do, what they do well. And I'm kind of able to compare my game to them, see what I need to get better at. But yeah, definitely being able to see that high level of golf at such a young age has definitely benefited me and kind of showed me the ropes of what I need to do to get to that level.
Preston, it's a different time in the life of a collegiate athlete, especially a notable collegiate athlete. We had some news come out last week from the USGA. How are you handling people approaching you about potential opportunities still as a college athlete? Do you have other people handle that? Is that something you're communicating with? How does that whole process work?
You know, I actually haven't I haven't needed to kind of do anything with that NIL deal yet. But I think it's definitely a big step in amateur golf, and I think it's a great thing.
Well, Preston, keep hoisting those trophies. Keep it simple. That's my advice.
He keeps it. Can I say this? He keeps it extremely simple.
He knows what he's doing.
He hits it really far, straight, and makes a lot of putts. I'd say that's a simple formula.
Got some good people around him as well. Preston, best of luck the rest of the season. We appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Golf Today as we share the best thing we saw from the week in golf. This was the scene at the 18th green on Friday as Bermuda native and golf professional Brian Morris finished his second round. He's battling stage 4 brain cancer and was given a sponsor exemption into the Islands PGA Tour event. Morris played with his cousin and fellow Bermudian Michael Sims, who also earned a sponsor exemption into the event. An emotional scene for the 54-year-old Morris.
You know what? I always have one PGA Tour start asking my name, you know, to see all my family, friends. It's amazing. Don't know if I ever see it again, you know, but hey, I saw it. It's hurt. It means a lot. It's huge.
When you get a chance to reflect back on the last couple of days, is there a moment or something from these 2 days of experience that's going to stand out in your mind?
Well, to be honest with you, from the phone call, the initial phone call to right now, it's been such a ride. Like, it's been so many cool people that I haven't met before. And I mean that from people who work for the tour, people who work for Bruno Events, you know. Everybody's just been so cool to me, man. It's been absolutely amazing. I'll never forget this forever.
Indeed, that the quote really that'll hang with me about Brian's story. He said, I'll never forget this forever. And we know sports matter a lot to people, but life matters a lot more for Brian to have this opportunity to just get to go out there and say, I competed at a PGA Tour event. I competed with the best in the world. The emotions after. Very, very special stuff this week at Bermuda.
The connection that this game of golf has with so many people that are going through different things, whether it's cancer, whether it's the men and women of the military coming home from war, you know, missing limbs or with dealing with PTSD, children with special needs. You think about sports as a whole, Tom Brady, and we saw the young man in the crowd with the side, Tom Brady helped me get through cancer, and to see Brian Morris, to see him compete on the PGA Tour, knowing what this game means to him, knowing what his life might be like for the next few months, what a moment for the game, and what a moment for him.
A lot of words about inspiration. When you watch that, when you watch what he was able to do, to go out there and play alongside someone that he calls a friend, someone that he's known for so long, and the emotions. I mean, he's playing this event in Bermuda. I mean, he's the head pro at Ocean View Golf Course in Bermuda. You couldn't have something more special. And when your days are numbered, you know, when you're starting to count down the days, there are certain days that are going to feel bigger and more special than other days. And to imagine that he got that Thursday, Friday, to go out there and see fans and see a gallery and understand honors matters in this golf tournament, and to get to see the flags and a caddy bib, all that comes with this, all that comes with playing in a professional golf event, all that comes with playing on a PGA Tour golf event. I mean, you ask Brian when he's a kid, you know, you want to play professional golf? Do you want to play in a PGA Tour event? The answer was sure, like it was for any kid in his shoes. And to finally get to fulfill that and be a part of this championship, kudos to everyone involved.
Yeah.
Kudos to the PGA Tour, to the event staff in Bermuda for making this happen, to give him a call and to put him on our stage, because it was very, very special. And Brian's going to join us tomorrow. Excited for that conversation
Can't
as well.
Can't wait to chat with him. It's so wonderful to have nice things happen to you, but it's even better when you do something nice. It's the whole love thy neighbor mentality of this game, and the good folks at Bermuda and the PGA Tour who gave him a sponsor's exemption to help this story happen, to make him feel good, to make someone feel good about their station in life. This is what it's all about. On golf today, there is an 8-year-old golfer, Hunter Williams. Tell you what, he's been taking the internet by storm, walking in putts, fist pumping his way across Instagram and Twitter. And like I say, he's just 8 years old, just the start of his love of this game. He loves it already. He's got incredible kind of a feel for the moment, Shane. Kind of those people are just born with that star power, red top, black bottom, and just knows that the putt is going to drop and another fist pump. I mean, just flag in, flag out, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and even, you know, channeling Kevin Na, look at that early walk. I mean, even Kevin Na's not walking that early. That was about 6 feet out, drops it in. Great young kid having some fun on social media, but he's done a lot already in the game of golf at just 8 years of age, third at the U.S. Kids Golf World Championship, won the U.S. Kids Golf Northern California State Championship, second at the U.S. Kids Golf Texas Open, has 20-plus local tournament wins, and also a sensation on social media. Hunter and his dad, Joey, join us now. And Hunter, it's a Monday morning. I got to ask to start, are we skipping school for an interview? What is your plans on a Monday, Hunter?
We have no school today because I'm not sure if it's because I think it's because my teachers have to do the work for it to get ready tomorrow.
And it's also maybe because you got a chance to be on this lovely show. Well, Hunter, I want to ask you about the sport of golf. Why do you love golf as an 8-year-old?
I really like to putt and see the ball drop, and I also really like to hit chips really close and get up and down, and I also like to hit bombs with the driver right down the fairway, and I also love the course design.
Wow, clearly you love this game in all aspects. Look behind you, you've got medals, you're clearly successful. So how much time do you spend working on your game?
I try to practice 3 to 4 days a week.
Pretty impressive. Good practice schedule already. Who's your favorite player? Who's the player you like to watch the most on TV?
I have 3 of them, but the one that I love to watch most on TV is probably Jordan Spieth, because I love to see him get up and down from crazy spots.
Oh, great short game for Hunter. Great short game for Jordan. So what is the best golf shot, Hunter, that you've ever hit in your young life?
Probably the pitching wedge when I was 7 years old that I made for my first eagle.
He's actually still got it. He hung it up himself. He wanted to keep it.
Wow.
One day could be in the World Golf Hall of Fame. You never know. Hey, Joey.
Yeah, maybe.
Joey, I have a 2.5-year-old, and his interest in the game right now is riding around in a golf cart. Hunter got into the game at 1. How did you push Hunter to golf so early, and how did he connect to it so quickly?
Yeah, I grew up playing junior golf, and so ever since he was born, he's been riding in the car with me as well. And one day he just picked up a plastic club, started swinging it, and we took him out, and he's been in love ever since. So He's the one that kind of runs the show. He tells me when he wants to go, when he wants to practice, and we kind of just go with that. He's got a coach that has always encouraged him to call the shots. If it's what he wants to do, then he does it. And so we're just running with it right now, and he absolutely loves the game.
Hunter, what's your favorite golf course? I know you're interested in different golf course design and architecture. What's your favorite golf course, and why do you love it so?
Probably Pinehurst number 2, because I love that it has sand dunes and it is very hard to get up and down and it has very tricky putts.
Man, what an old soul.
Talking architecture already. Andy Johnson's going to get this kid on the Friday ASAP. Hey, Hunter, you have a head cover behind you, and I don't want to go negative here, but you got a head cover behind you, the ASU head cover. Now, coming from an Arizona Wildcat, did you do this on purpose, Hunter? Are you trying to hurt my feelings? Are you an ASU fan? Why the head cover?
So this was the main, this was one of the first, college facilities that I went to, and it has one of the best practice facilities ever since. I've wanted to go to Arizona State.
All right, I guess you can go there. I guess you can go to Arizona State. Decent collegiate program there. Well, what's been the coolest part of seeing your videos circulate around the internet, Hunter?
I love knowing that Kevin Knott commented that I was on fire, and I also like that maybe Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson saw the video.
How about that? I mean, you love this game so much. You love Jordan Spieth. Maybe one day you'll get to play with him on the PGA Tour, which leads me to my next question. What is your ultimate goal in the game? What would you like to do as a grown-up?
As a grown-up, I would love to be on the PGA Tour.
Bingo. Simple.
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 No reason to let's not make it complicated here.
Walking in putts at the top levels of the game.
and fist pumping like a professional golfer. Hunter, congrats on all the success. Love looking at all those trophies. Listen, I'm just going to throw this your way and to Joey. Tucson, Arizona. Give it a look. Go down to Tucson, get some great food. You'd have a different looking head cover. But no matter where you go and what you pursue, we're excited to watch.
You want to go over to Arizona, be a Wildcat?
No.
No, he says.
How about UCLA? UCLA, guys. A little look at Westwood, potentially. What are your thoughts on UCLA? Asking for a friend.
Maybe be a Bruin. We've talked about, maybe some East Coast schools, Florida, North Carolina.
Arizona State.
It hits me right in the heart. Man. We'll still be rooting for you, Hunter. Thanks so much for taking some time out of your Monday.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, well, a little stud. Going to ASU, you tried, I did too.
I don't get any like recruiting payments or anything from U of A here. I just like to push people that way or at least consider.
Yeah.
University of Arizona, Tucson's beautiful. You'd love it. The mountains there are awesome. There's a lot of stuff to do. The only biosphere outside of Earth is 30 minutes from Tucson, but I digress. It looks like he's set with ASU.
How about his celebration? Do you have a favorite?
The big fist pumping?
Oh my gosh! I mean, this is a part of golf.
So every time I hear about best fist pumps, I go to one player and one player only. And most people are probably going to be thinking of someone else. I go to David Duvall.
Really?
I go specifically to 1999.
Oh, there you go.
The Ryder Cup. This will be burned in my golf memory forever because this was so unlike David Duvall. I love this part too. Stop fist pumping, shake hands, Jesper, thank you so much. Now back to the fist pump. Let's go back to the double
boom,
pump.
Boom, boom, boom. I'm going to keep doing this, even though it's really awkward. But it worked. It kind of fit the 99 Ryder Cup singles.
I mean, it's just.
And the shirt.
You could show that for how many more? We have 30 minutes left in the show. You could show that for 30 more minutes. I'd be into it. What about you,
D? That was so cool. I'm going to one of David Duvall's great rivals.
Davis Love.
I'm going Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Tiger Woods, and I'm going 3 years early. 1996, U.S. Amateur. This is the 11th hole, par 5. He's 2 down at this point to Steve Scott, our buddy, who had chipped in on the 10th hole.
He had one hand on the half a mile, Steve Scott
did.
Yep.
And Tiger's from 45 feet for eagle. There's no way you make this putt.
You pull a muscle.
Of
the fist pumps. There are a couple of images of some of those early Tiger fist
yes.
pumps where he'd run across the green. We hadn't really seen it before. That was what's so cool about Tiger.
Exactly, because people have celebrated throughout the year. You know, Tom Kite would do the... And here comes Tiger Woods punching the clouds. I mean, putting his back into it. I mean, it was nothing like we'd ever seen in golf before.
Loved always talking about Tiger as the athlete.
Yes.
The celebrations look athletic. They look different than what we'd seen in golf before. And if we'd have known then what we know now.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the famous Curtis Strange interview that has been circulated millions and millions of times.
You'll learn.
We were all Curtis Strange.
100%.
We were all Curtis Strange sitting in that seat going,
you'll learn.
You don't dominate golf.
Yeah.
You can't dominate golf. And he would always find a way to reach internal and find some way to make a 35-foot curler. We're talking about Rory. We're talking about Jordan Spieth. We're talking about certain players that, you know, green reading, I talk about this a lot when I play.
Yeah.
You've got to read it correctly. You've got to hit it the right speed. All the intangibles have to go your way. You can't hit something and kick it offline. Wind can't pick up and gust on a putt. For a player to always find a way to kind of look past all those things and just make the putt.
Yeah.
Here's the ball. There's the hole. I'm going to get it to drop. Tiger's the best of all time at that skill and that skill alone.
Our buddy Nota Begay, who went to Stanford with Tiger, has talked about Tiger and that he just sees the game in a completely different way. This game has been played for hundreds of years. There have been many fantastic players who have gone on to great things, to win majors. But Tiger thinks about the game in a different way. This was supposed to be too precocious. You don't make putts like this. You don't fist pump your way across the green. But when you're this player and you're that special and you read greens the way you do and you see this game the way you do, this was just the early roars of what would be one of the greatest careers that we ever seen. So, yeah, I'm going to fist pump my way across the green and punch the sky like this because I'm that good. I'm that great. I'm that different. I'm that special.
Always special. It's very, very special to watch greatness live. I think about Jon Rahm this year when we're talking about great celebrations.
Yeah.
And the fact that Jon Rahm had two putts on the last two greens he knows he needed to make. I've got to make them. If I want to win this U.S. Open, I've got to finish birdie. And somehow Jon Rahm made putts. That putt reminded me of the putts Rahm made. A little bit longer, sure.
Yeah.
But it going away from you. It's a putt that a right-hander doesn't want. You think about Torrey Pines in 08 and that putt Tiger had. That's not a putt right-handers want to hit.
Oh,
downhill, moving left to right on bumpy greens. And all of that goes out of the minds of these greats.
Yeah.
They don't think about all the things you and I think about when we're over a putt for something special. It's a career low round or to win your club championship or to place in the member.
Yeah.
They're playing for history, major championships, and the Hall of Fame, if you will.
Yeah.
And you look past all those things and you just see ball, see hole, knock it in. It's really, really cool to watch kind of genius on display.
You know what they're saying? Give me the ball. Give me the ball.
I'll shoot it.
I want the ball.
Golf Central Update brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Back on Golf Today, Dubai Moonlight Classic, Bronte Law from UCLA, par 5, 16th hole. This is a 3-wood. Oh, she's looking at it, staring at it. You know, bright lights, big shot.
Some would call it brilliant in there. Tight for Bronte Law. Now trying to make the putt for eagle.
Well, you got after a shot of that quality, you just want to leave it. Wanting.
Man, those greens look good.
Woo. Center cut pork chop for a player who won the Pure Silk Championship back in 2019. You've seen her on Solheim Cups.
Go to the 17th, the par 3. From 171.
Oh, you'd love to see a player. I mean, that's
That was, is that his early walk?
That's like, what do you call it, swag, sauce?
Yeah, I mean, all of it.
It's solid, all of
surprise
it, right?
Club went in the bag already. It's good. What was the famous Jack line in 86?
Yeah.
Be right, it is.
Yes. Missed the hard lip out, but so par. It didn't matter, though, at this point, you know? It didn't matter. She's on her way to a cool trophy. We've talked
Very
about it.
Very good trophy.
Right? That's a good one.
Great trophy.
Yeah.
Front of the house trophy right there.
Absolutely, right?
Foyer,
maybe?
You can put that in 4 or 5 rooms, I bet.
4 or 5 rooms.
Yeah, put that by the pool table if you need to. That brought us to a part of the program that Damon Hack is going to love. Some great performances this season alone from some players from UCLA.
Speaks to the strength of the programs out west. Patty Tavitanikit, what is now the Chevron, then the A&A. What a performance as a rookie. getting that beautiful trophy, the white bathrobe, the leap into poppies, just a powerful performance off the tee.
Had her on the show just a week ago. You can check that out on our new Golf Today Showcast podcast. You can find that where all podcasts are available. Brian O'Toole in August, 34 years of age, picked up her first LPGA Tour title in 228 starts at the Women's Scottish Open.
Yes, indeed. How about UCLA's Patrick Cantlay? Huge season, won four times, including the Tour Championship at East Lake, taking home Player of the Year honors on the PGA Tour.
This fall, former UCLA standout Lilia Vu earned her LPGA Tour card for the 2022 season after finishing atop the Symetra Tour standings. And we just showed you this. We'll show it to you again.
Dancing in the moonlight, everybody's feeling warm and bright. Such a afternoon delight, but this was an evening delight for Blanche Law.
I was kind of hoping you'd keep going. I was kind of into it. No reason to break it up on a Monday.
Oh, man, having some fun in November.
So and, notable. I mean, here accolades. We go. This is, I mean, just
powerhouse.
Damon's going to walk out of here 12 feet tall by the end of this show. Three major winners. You see Corey Pavin, Mo Martin, Patty Tabatanikit, Scott McCarron is the reigning Charles Schwab Cup champion. He went to UCLA.
He did. Patrick Cantlay, some call him Patty Ice, Bronte, Lilia. It's just been a neat run for some fantastic players, some Bruin alums. Oh, my gosh.
Brought us back to D-Hack himself.
A lot of Pac-12 in that picture. That's my baby sister, Cammie. She went to Stanford, smartest in the family. I went to UCLA, also a great school. So my mom took a picture of this picture and texted it to me and texted it to our producer, Chloe Pistorius. And back in the day, I'm rocking the UCLA sweatshirt.
You know what? That still plays. That shirt would still play
right
today. And we thought on this fine Monday, it'd be a good time to test Damon's UCLA college
goodness
knowledge. So, Damon, walk out of here 12 feet tall. Let's see if you remain 12 feet tall
okay. After
these questions. You feeling good?
I think I'm okay.
All right. These are some great questions kind of across the spectrum, not golf specific.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. First question. Why are UCLA's colors true blue and gold, D-Hack?
I actually know the answer to that question. Class of 1993. I believe it has something to do with the ocean and like wildflowers. It's a combination of the two.
Answer to represent the state's
ocean.
That's
what I'm talking about.
And wildflowers.
Yes,
he remains red hot, one for one.
Correct.
All right, John Wooden, famed basketball coach at UCLA. How many national championships did he win at UCLA? It was a lot.
Was
I'll give
a
you
lot
a hint, it was a lot.
It was a lot, it was 10. It was from 1964 to 1975.
Put that down.
The Wizard of Westwood.
Two for two from the upcoming CEO of PointsBet, our friend Damon Hack, right here. You see there, that's the question you just nailed. John Wooden winning at UCLA 10 times. That is correct. All right, next question. Question number three.
Okay.
You remember, you know the internet. You've been on it before?
I have.
The internet?
Yes.
What started at UCLA in a certain year? What year did the internet?
I think I know the answer.
Gosh. If you get this.
I believe it was sent to Stanford, actually. It was relayed in 1969, and the computer broke afterwards.
Do I have to keep doing this?
I'm three for three.
Three for three. He was nervous. I just want everybody at home to know.
He was
a bit nervous about his chances
here. I had the Damon versus Damon, and I was embarrassed.
Three for three. Now the question is, can you maybe hammer these questions home perfectly?
Okay.
Sorry, so here you go. Question number four. What prank did students pull the week before the UCLA-USC football game back in 1993?
I should miss some of these. I'm class of 93. The students went up the hill, I believe, to the Hollywood sign and covered it in Go Bruins.
So I think we
that's
have
what
I think we have an image.
There it is. Go UCLA. Okay, so like a
we're giving
credit,
that.
Half credit.
No. That's a win. That's
okay.
A win.
Okay.
That's a win.
That was
four.
Go Bruins. Go UCLA.
You're four for four. This is incredible. All right, here we go. I don't know if we have a drum roll, but if just think about a drum roll in your head as you're listening to this final question. Why is the C on UCLA's basketball jerseys? You know, they're beautiful basketball jerseys,
yeah,
great colors.
I tried to walk
Why is
on.
It a different
yeah
color? The C a different color?
I
to go perfect, Damon Hack.
I mean, I think of C of captain. I don't know for sure, but I'm just going to say captain because I don't know the answer to it, though.
So you finally missed one. We have it here. It represents the Roman numeral for 100, commemorating UCLA as the first to win 100 NCAA
really
championships. Interesting little nugget. there.
Oh, I do. I do all right.
Oh, I mean.
Once I got the ocean and the wildflowers, I was like, I'm going to be okay.
Listen,
I don't even want to know
what your GPA was.
It was pretty
good.
UCLA,
I'm assuming it was probably with a three, maybe with a four.
Yeah, with a three. That was a high three.
That was a very, very impressive performance there. And listen, we don't give Damon Hackney's questions or answers. I barely got the questions before this part of the program.
So I'm pumped. There are some questions. I mean, I loved my time at UCLA. I'm a proud Bruin. Oh, I'm already talking to my boys about looking out west. They'd have family there to take care of them if they want to go to UCLA, because they're in the Northeast now. A lot of pressure about Ivies and different things like that. Don't sleep on UCLA for the next generation. How about Ty for 12 for Brian Gay? Undersized, older player, tough conditions, but you got to use your savvy to work your way around the golf course. You know, we mentioned the trouble. You know, the weight of the plane, I guess, was a little off. I mean, Brian, not a big man. He was able to finally get on his plane and played very, very good golf in Bermuda.
Listen, there's a rule here. There's a rule that needs to be started in professional golf. The defending champion gets on the airplane.
Oh, first.
Gets on the airplane first. 1A.
1A.
1A and 1B for your caddy.
With Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
right?
Another UCLA Bruin. He's Lou Alcindor.
I'm sitting in the front.
Put him in 1A.
I want the leg room. Brian Gay deserved a spot. Should not have had to wait for the clubs.
100%.
But, I mean, listen. We know golf does not sleep. We know golf does not take weeks off. We've got more golf this week. And I'm excited for LPGA. I'm excited for the LPGA Tour to return here as this last stretch in November.
Yeah.
To see what we talked about on the show. We've got Jin Young Ko and we can have Nelly Korda. And the hope is that eventually we'll see them face off maybe in a final pairing late in this season.
And we got a little Mayakoba as well on the PGA Tour. It'll be a lot of fun. JT in that field. I tell you what, I'm just excited that in this time of year that can be a little bit sleepy, we're seeing some storylines develop, including seeing what the players on the PGA Tour do now end up doing when we get toward the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Out of five questions about UCLA, what was your hope before we started that you get it right?
Honestly, I wanted to get at least one, and I was hoping for two on the outside to be a respectable performance. To get 3.5/4, I said go Bruins, I said go UCLA, but you gave me that one. That's what, 4 to 5 is like 80%.
I feel like we need to reach out to PointsBet and see where they would have put that. What would they have handicapped 4 out of 5? Because I don't know if it would have been plus money considering the brain capacity that Damon Hack possesses, but I was impressed. I thought you'd get 3. That was my guess. 4, that's a win. That's an A. That'll get you on the Dean's list if you get 4 out of 5 about your college. You want to do this tomorrow?
Let's do it tomorrow. I'm looking forward to Locks of the Week whenever we get to that, because I'm having a lot of fun in this new incarnation.
Wins of the Week is what Damon Hack is calling.